Election day.
No, I, in my head, you know, I try to say.
Am I that predictable? I'm pretty predictable, aren't I?
You're predictable, but you're unpredictable sometimes. But with that, I kind of go, she's going to juice it up. It's not just your average Tuesday. It's election day. She's got to mention it, and you mentioned it. So you did. I think you did the right thing, I think.
It is a Tuesday. It's a super Tuesday.
Is it, though?
I don't even know what that means.
That it is. I don't know that it is. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. This is the bonus hour. It's the stream of consciousness. You will not be charged for this.
Can I just tell you how exhausted I am going through all the judges on whether or not to retain them or vote for them? And if you go to ballotready.org, you can get your ballot ready and print it. So when you go to the polling place, you just bing, bang, boom, copy off of it. You copy off of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're in and out in a second.
Now, I'll be able to bring, because I mentioned this earlier, my wife sent me a comprehensive list of who is endorsed by who and what they stand for.
Yes.
It's really a big list. And it's on my phone. I'm allowed to bring that in.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I don't want to deal with that. And I am using the Chicago Bar Association recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
There are various other organizations that, you know, support certain judges, but I'm going based on the Chicago Bar Association.
I am using Model Railroader Magazine. They put out a list of which candidates they feel are most qualified, and so far I've agreed with most of them. So I know it seems an odd choice. Casey Jones is running for office. There's little brackets that say H.O. Gage by some of their names. I don't know what that means, so I'll just vote for whoever I think is right. It's strange because you see so many negative ads. The last couple of months is just you've been bombarded by negative ads, and you don't know quite what to believe, because if you believed all the ads, then no one's qualified, are they? They're all horrible people, according to the ads.
I know, and it's really bad, although you and I have talked about this off the air, and I don't know if I should put it on the air, but in my district, Congressman Daniel Lipinski is running.
Against somebody with a history of white supremacy.
He's a former Nazi leader.
Yeah. Are you not voting for any former Nazi leaders this time around?
But you and I were talking about this, and there's so much dirt being spewed in these commercial ads that
yes.
totally contradict each other, and they're back-to-back commercials. It's like, I swear to you, Bill,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure a portion of it is true, but I'm sure it's embellished because that's what the point of these ads are.
Right.
It's dirty, dirty, dirty.
They show graphics of war-type scenes, and you know, it you want to think that some people who are running for office are fine, upstanding citizens, but if you watch any of these ads, I don't think they are, because everything they're showing me is bad.
So why isn't Daniel Lipinski running an ad saying, vote for me or vote for the Nazi guy?
Right. I don't know. That would be, if I was running his campaign, I go, we really got to press that you are not a Nazi, but the other guy is a Nazi. I would certainly make some sort of reference to that in the ads. But somehow, in a landscape that's filled with negativity, that's kind of not mentioned.
I know.
It's very strange.
I will be glad when this is all over with. And I haven't, maybe it's because I don't have a landline. Did you lose your landline?
Today, actually. We were getting rid of it today. I know.
But have you gotten any...
I had to say goodbye to it this morning. It was very emotional. I was going to make one last phone call to Papa's Pizza, and I didn't do it. That's the only other number I know. I know they're out of business.
So I just want to know if you listen to any of the messages, because I wonder, having a landline, how many you got?
There's a bunch. Because over the last couple of weeks, every time I see it that somebody's calling, it's always a number I don't recognize. You know, so I'm sure we've got a ton of them. But who is anyone influenced by robocalls? Anyone?
No.
You're not, right?
Although, you know, can I just say something about, like, signs and commercials? There are, seriously, as I'm going through this list of 5,000 judges,
mm-hmm.
It's if all of a sudden you remember one from a sign or remember one from something else, maybe a robocall, given the option, maybe you would say, oh, I know this name.
But then wouldn't your brain go, but I only know it because it's a sign on somebody's lawn that I don't know?
Yeah, but in your brain, I don't know, do you feel like you have to vote for every candidate on the ballot?
I don't know that I ever have.
I think I have every time.
Have you?
Yeah.
There's always some that I just say, I don't know these. I don't know if they're good or bad. I can't really.
But that's not fair to them, and it's, we should have done our homework to find out about them.
Right.
I'm not a good voter.
What other jobs do you think we should be able to vote on, and which shouldn't we? Like, even with judges, I'm thinking, I don't know enough about these people. I am doing as much research as I can, and I will, but are there other jobs out there that you should have the right to vote on or not vote on?
Coaches
for sports teams?
Sports.
It's not a bad idea. That's a great idea, actually.
Thank you very much.
Not position players, but the coaches.
Yep.
All right. I like that. I think that's good. But I'm trying to think if there's any other jobs out there that I think to myself, the people should have more of a say in who this is and who gets that job.
Probably teachers.
Not. Oh, teachers is interesting. That's an interesting idea.
Listen.
But then there'd be ads for teachers on all the time where they'd say, Mr. Markwell said there would be a test on Wednesday, when in reality, the test was on Tuesday,
So does that make him a better or worse teacher?
No, he screwed with the kids. He told them it would be Wednesday, and the kids were prepared. They weren't prepared on Tuesday.
Sometimes you gotta, pull it out a little early just in case.
Yeah.
Make sure they're learning.
Right.
Miss
Stafford said no spelling tests all semester. But what happened the third week? A spelling test. Students did not vote for Mrs. Stafford.
I don't know. There are. I just feel it's not fair for us to vote for judges because, really, in years prior,
you don't know enough about them.
Before my sister started giving me the Chicago Bar Association recommendations, and you can Google, you can see. And again, I'm telling you, this ballotready.org, I am not a paid endorser, but I heard Cochran talking about it. So I checked it out, and it really does give a little background and who recommends who. And it's interesting to look at that and then get your ballot ready. But I shouldn't be allowed to vote for judges. In years past, I just went for women.
Right.
Italians.
Right.
And Irish names, because I'm Italian and Irish and I'm a woman. Isn't that, I'm sorry, that's stupid.
Right.
And it's not fair for, judges that are.
What if a Dutch guy who's the best judge in the history of judges.
He wouldn't have gotten my vote in the past.
Oh.
But now there are, do not recommend, and they're qualified. And then I just remember watching the news a couple months back, and there was some judge that was in the Cook County Courthouse, and he dropped a gun as he was walking through.
That.
Do you remember? And
yes,
I don't remember his name.
No, I don't either.
So then I'm thinking, I don't know if that's a good judge.
I wish there was a sheet that said, in very few words, because you don't have time, because there's so much stuff to vote for, and you can't spend all day in there, kind of the highlights and the lowlights of what that person has either done or not done.
I like that.
And if they're funded by, who's donating money to them? Because I've mentioned this in the past. If I know for a fact that somebody's getting a lot of NRA money, they're not getting my vote. They're just flat out not getting my vote. So I would love for a guide to say those things, the real particulars. You know how on a baseball card, the back of a baseball card, it tells you the important information, how many times they've been playing, how many years they've been playing, of course, how many hits, runs, RBIs, and stuff like that. I need that, but with the people we're voting for.
All right. Well, I'm telling you, this ballotready.org, if you click, I'm clicking on a particular judge, and I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to sway anyone, but it is not on my do not retain list from the Chicago Bar Association. So if you go down, it says qualified. Asian American Bar Association Chicago qualifies this person.
Mm-hmm.
Black Women's Lawyer Association, Chicago Bar Association. So you can see Lesbian and Gay Bar Association, Puerto Rican Bar Association, Illinois State Bar Association. You can see who is behind them and who's backing them.
Mm-hmm.
So if the NRA was there, you could see that.
So it would. Are there some on there that have a notation that the NRA is backing them?
I haven't gone through every candidate, but yes, they do.
They do.
They do put that. I'm telling you, this ballotready.org, someone texted you earlier and said they couldn't get through because it was busy.
Yeah.
I've gotten through all morning long.
Yeah. There were a couple texts. There were two texts back to back that said we're trying to revisit the website. It's either crashed or not allowing us on for some reason.
Because I will tell you the truth. In this, Michael, my son, is 19. He's never voted in a midterm election. election before, and so we were talking about it and discussing who we're voting for, and he's like, I just wish I could get some more information. And I said, I heard Cochran mention this today.
Yeah.
So we went on there, and like, I can, here, I'm just going to find somebody. These judges are taking up all my time. I'm sorry. See, Daniel William Lipinski.
Mm-hmm.
If I click on Arthur Jones, who is the Republican candidate, it says about Arthur, experience, Army, 1969 to 71, independent insurance broker, America First Committee leader, American Nazi Party former leader.
Is that in gigantic bold letters? It's just thrown
education,
in there.
Bachelor, bachelor's degree, University of Wisconsin, Whitewater, political science.
Is white in big bold letters for Whitewater?
Mm-mm. No, but I mean, so right there, this was very helpful.
Yeah. Yep.
You can click on state candidates. Who else do you want to know? You want to hear about what this says about J.B. Pritzker?
Yes, I do.
This is terrible.
It's pronounced Rauner.
I know, but there's all, do you know there are two other candidates running?
I know that, but I don't know their names.
Should we find out about
them? I can't even remember. Oh, okay, I remember one of them, Jill Stein. Like in the last presidential election,
Were
three other candidates that were sadly non-factors, but they were options. And I only remember Jill Stein's name. I don't remember the other two guys' names that were involved.
Well, this is the Libertarian Party for Governor Grayson Jackson.
I would not have guessed that.
And the only information on him is experience U.S. Navy Petty Officer First Class.
Because
he doesn't have a lot of experience.
Right.
Then William McCann is the C Party. What is that?
The C Party?
What's the letter C? See how terrible I am?
I don't know what that is.
He says, you can get his issues on abortion or immigration.
Just the letter C?
Yeah.
For C Party?
I know. I'm so not political, so I don't know. I'm lucky I know R&D.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Rauner, Illinois governor. About Bruce, governor 2015 to current. He was a partner in Golder, Toma, and Cressy law firm. Bachelor's from Dartmouth, MBA from Harvard. It has all his issues and his stances on criminal justice, public safety, economy. This is the most amazing website.
For Rauner and for Pritzker, they should put dollar signs. You know how like when you're looking up restaurants,
yeah,
the restaurant guide, and it tells you how expensive the food is? It should have different dollar signs for how wealthy they are.
Experience for J.B. Pritzker, Democrat, 1871 founder.
Oh, he's old. I didn't know he was that old.
I never even heard of that till Steve Bertrand mentioned, wasn't somebody from 1871 coming on his show on the business lunch?
I think so, yeah.
Pritzker Group co-founder. That's the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Education, Northwestern University School of Law.
Mm-hmm.
And then it lists all his issues.
Issue sounds negative. Is it?
Well, issues like, no, it's like drug policy. You will click on that and it'll tell you his stance on that.
Oh, that's valuable. That's all very valuable.
What are his thoughts on guns? Supports a ban on assault weapons, high capacity magazines, and bump stocks in Illinois to help prevent mass shootings.
Mm-hmm.
Supports a gun dealer licensing bill to ensure firearms are sold in a safe and responsible manner. If you want to talk about health care, supports a public health insurance option that would allow every Illinois resident the chance to buy low-cost health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Every issue and their thoughts on it are listed.
That's
under
what
here.
I'd want. Yeah, I'd want that. All right, so what's the website again?
Ballotready.org. And I have been working on these judges for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Here you have Erica Harold, Republican for Illinois Attorney General, experience attorney, Burke Warren McKay and Saratella, PC attorney, Meyer Kappel, attorney, bachelor's of arts degree at University of Illinois and Harvard University, her thoughts on things. And then you can look up the Libertarian candidate, Bubba Harsey.
Bubba Harsey.
Yep.
That's here in Illinois. There's someone named Bubba in the state of Illinois.
Yes, a white gentleman named Bubba Harsey for L. I'm libertarian, right?
Yeah.
He is experienced private solo law practice.
A lawyer named Bubba?
Education, American University. He supports requirement for all police to wear body cameras.
That, is that his main issue?
No, they cover all of them. Economy supports legalization of fireworks.
That's. I vote based on that, Wendy. You can laugh all you want, but I want to know my candidate is pro-firework. I need to know that.
I can't believe this is on here.
What are his thoughts on M80s? What does it say?
It just says under the economy tab, it says economy supports legalization of fireworks.
Yeah.
Drug policy.
Is he pro-Roman candle or against Roman candles?
Supports legalization of cannabis and hemp.
Yeah.
Healthcare supports a law preventing full contact football leagues for children under the age of 12.
Interesting.
See what I mean? This is just amazing.
Hmm.
I didn't look under raising taxes on Rauner or on
Pritzker,
because I don't want to know the answer. I think it's going to happen any way you look at it. I'm Kwame Raoul.
You are Kwame Raoul? I thought of a bunch of slogans that he should have used and didn't use.
What?
Like, here's one. Do you like salami? Vote for Kwame. Are you?
I like salami.
Are you a swami? Vote for Kwame. There's like a bunch of them. Ask your daddy and mommy. I'm Kwame. You know, stuff like that. He didn't use any of those. I sent them in.
Yeah, and he sent them back.
Do you like the music from Tommy? Because I'm Kwame. There's a thousand of them.
All right, I like that.
Yeah.
But this is really the most helpful thing I've ever been on ballotready.org.
Yeah, that seems very helpful.
You can register through Facebook, and here's the dilemma that I always have when it's some kind of website and you can just sign in with your Facebook credentials or an email.
Yeah.
I always opt for the email because if Facebook is hacked and everything's connected to
They would never hack Facebook, Wendy.
It's already been hacked 100 times.
They would never do
but
that.
But I don't want all the things connected.
Right.
Like, I would like a hacker to have a harder time hacking into various things.
No, that's
other
true.
Than just hack into one and have access to all
that's
my
good.
Political beliefs.
Right. No, that's smart.
Because I, too, support fireworks.
Yes. That's on every one of these issues. That's what I want to know. I don't care about health care and the border and stuff like that. I just need to know what their fireworks codes are.
Well, there you have
that's
it.
The most important
Bubba.
Thing.
Was that Bubba Harsey? I don't even remember now.
I didn't think we had guys named Bubba in Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
I'm shocked to learn this.
Yes, it's a big election day. I hope everybody gets out to vote.
Yeah, please do. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, what's wrong?
Just, you know, there's an election going on right now.
What?
In many different precincts.
Yes.
And we are doing complete coverage as the returns come in. And Judy Pilak and...
is prepared to declare the winners, Wendy.
No, but she's going to be here till 10 o'clock tonight with Kim Gordon. They're doing this special post-election coverage. So she's not in here now to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been an oversight.
Well, they're flipping a coin right now to see who loses and has to come in and do the news for us.
I think it's David Miranda.
Oh, poor David Miranda.
I know.
Oh.
So he had to get some news ready.
Yeah.
And,
it'll be fine.
I could have just done it.
No, that's not your place.
Well, I know it's not my
place. It's not your place. You gotta get
I've done news before in this business.
Have you? Yeah.
Yeah, you get it from another source and you read it.
Yeah.
You rip and read.
Oh, you do? Oh, I didn't know that.
That's what you do.
Hmm.
That I knew more about than traffic that I did for many years in this business, because I've never been on the Edens. I don't even know what number corresponds to the Edens.
You've never been on the Edens?
Maybe I have. I don't know if I have.
Your in-laws live moments away from the
Edens. I take 294. That's the tri-state.
Hmm. You got to try the Edens. It will change your life.
I have to go out of my way to get to the Edens.
You will be dazzled. It's so great on the Edens that no matter where you're going, you'll start taking the Edens to get there.
I went to Old Orchard once. Was that the Edens?
Yes.
All right. Then I was, in fact, on the Edens.
And? Wasn't it pleasant?
It was a lovely drive.
It's a great drive. It's the reason I live here.
Because of the Edens?
Yeah. I would live in... like Botswana or something, but I was on the Edens. I'm like,
this
is for me.
It's not Botswana. It's Botswana.
Botswana.
I don't know where that is. Is that a suburb?
It's in the back.
Oh, stop it
Wendy,
now.
Wendy, look who's here. David Miranda's here. He's going to do the news. David, how are you?
I'm doing very good. Missing Judy Pilak.
We all miss Judy.
She's going to be here late with Kim doing, and you'll probably be here too.
Yes. We have marathon days in the newsroom today.
Yep.
She's going to be here a little later, but...
Will there be pizza, do you think, tonight?
I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of everything.
That's what they usually do, Wendy. You're a news person. They bring pizza into the newsroom.
I read news.
You know.
Hopefully that includes around 11 or midnight some tequila or something like that. Something around. Oh. Is this water that makes you feel better? Oh.
So do you guys get the day off tomorrow?
I wish.
Yeah, they work so hard.
Yep.
We'll work it out somehow to get our time off, comp time, something.
Yeah. Right? You've obviously voted because you have on the red, white, and blue I voted sticker. We're very proud of you for voting.
Thank you so much. It's crazy. We're breaking record at the polls.
Yeah, that's what everybody's saying.
Is that true?
I'm so happy to hear
Me
that.
Me too.
Yes. We're supposed to surpass by 50% or so.
Good.
From the midterm elections from the past year. So, yes, that's great. People want change, I guess, right?
Yes.
And survey says a lot more young people are going to the polls than ever before. Is that true?
And women, yes.
Yes.
There's first-time voters. I was just covering that story right now. Maricel Hernandez from the Cook County Board of Elections was saying, yes, younger people that have not voted actually registered.
Mm-hmm.
And women. Women are actually getting there as well.
Mm-hmm. That's encouraging.
It is encouraging. I don't know if you want to reveal where you voted, but I will be voting in the suburbs. And I very rarely have had a wait time at all. When I can't wait to go. I'm going to go about 2 o'clock. Granted, that's not the busy hour. I bet 5 o'clock is going to be pretty busy. Did you have to wait in line?
Yes, I did. And I never do, usually.
Yeah, good.
And yes, I waited for like 25 minutes. And it was an even longer wait if you wanted to do it with the computerized.
I love the touchscreen.
Touchscreen, yes.
Is there an express lane if you're going to vote in 8 categories or less, because I'm just going to...
Voter iPads, you mean?
Yeah. They have that.
No, at the grocery store, if you have 15 items or fewer, if you're going to vote for 15 candidates or fewer, you get to
use the express lane.
I like it.
Just one of the ideas I gave to Jesse White, but he's like, yeah, thanks, Bill. We'll look at it.
That could be another campaign idea for four years.
Maybe,
why not?
Maybe.
No, you can sign off.
You have to sign off.
Miranda. David Miranda, WGN News.
That was great.
I don't know the IQ. Judy never told me that.
Why wouldn't she tell you that?
Because she likes to keep everyone else down.
That's crazy.
She doesn't want someone to perform better than she does.
David, you're better than that. You don't need that from her.
You know,
why would she do that to you?
And thank you for throwing everything together. I know you were busy in there, and you were kind of just told, could you go do some news headlines for me?
In the next couple of minutes, I'm like, election day. No problem. I'll be here anytime you guys need me to.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Greatly appreciated. Wendy, last night I went to a screening. There's a documentary called Laugh Till You're Winded. Michael Alexander has been on our show twice talking about this. He's been working on it for years. He finally finished it. They showed it last night. Actually, they showed an extended cut of it last night at Zany's in Old Town. Very interesting movie. It shows like the history and the evolution of stand-up comedy here in the city, and how the different clubs had very different personalities, and how it was different for white comics and black comics, and it was. And it was different for men comics and women comics, because it was.
Yeah.
And it was really enjoyable to see a bunch of guys that I used to work with, 25 or 30 years ago, all kind of back. Everyone's a little bit older than they used to be. That happens.
Except you.
Except me. I got younger, but they all got older somehow. But it was fun. One of the storylines was that guys that were coming up, you don't know who's going to hit it big and who's not, So like,
still to this day, probably,
you never
right?
know. So we've had several guys that kind of came up during that era that have done extremely well. Guys like Jeff Garland and Bob Odenkirk, and there's others. And it was just fun to see, their side of it, and the people who worked around them, their side of it. And I'm proud of Michael Alexander for doing this.
You're featured in it.
I'm in it quite a bit, actually. I didn't think I'd be in it that much, but I'm in it quite a bit.
Do you miss stand up?
No.
You don't miss doing it. You miss traveling, or you don't care about either.
Neither.
Really?
I did
you
it for 10
so
years.
Good at it.
Oh, thanks. It was so much fun to do, but do you miss fourth grade?
No, but if I would miss radio, and I've done it for 32 years.
Yeah.
And you were good. It's not like you were sucky.
No, I loved it. I mean, it was such an amazing way to make a living, because it's one of those the only jobs you can ever have where, most nights I worked 45 minutes a night. Not like this, where that, you know, you got to put in 2 hours, 3 hours. Who can do that? But then
you put more work into your 45-minute stand-up than, well, because it's a different thing.
The real thing was the downtime. Like when I would travel, you know, on Friday nights and Saturday nights, there were two shows or sometimes three shows. But during the week, there was one show a night. So honestly, you were working for 45 minutes or for an hour, and then it was just downtime. And I already had met Terry, so I wasn't looking for women.
Yeah.
I'm not a drinker. I'm not a druggie. So
you had too much spare time then.
There was a lot of spare time. I did a lot of crossword puzzles. I read a lot. You know,
that's not what you typically hear a stand-up comic doing in his idle time.
No, because the other guys were always like, we're going to go out drinking and stuff. And I'm like, well, have fun, you know.
Did you go to a lot of Greasy Spoon restaurants?
Yeah. And actually, I have to say, I did. Like, you got to know, you know, I was in a different city every week. So you quickly got to know. Sometimes you'd ask the people at the club, what's open after like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock? But one of the more fun aspects of doing stand-up was, you would go to a place, you know, and essentially have dinner at 1 o'clock in the morning with the other stand-ups. Sometimes you knew them, sometimes you didn't know them.
I bet that was fun.
That was actually,
camaraderie of, did you discuss acts and stuff?
Yeah, there was,
did you gossip about others?
Yeah, there was a lot. Yeah, there was some of that. There was a lot of
what they called. Can't believe he's headlining. He doesn't deserve it.
That guy should not be obviously headlining. There was a lot of what was called road stories, which was a guy that you worked with told you a story that was so unbelievable, and then you would share that with the next guy, and then, you know, those stories got passed around. There was always lists of who, if this guy ever comes into a club, he steals material, so don't do anything good in front of him because he'll steal it up from under you. It was always that kind of talk.
That would be a bad thing to be known for.
Yeah, yeah. But one of the other side stories was there were clubs here that didn't want. I mean, we were just talking about this with Reno with the Ramblers of 1963. Well, fast forward 20 years later, there were clubs that would never hire more than one woman on a bill. So your traditional stand-up show is three comics. You have an MC, you have a middle act, and you have a headliner. The MC does about 15 to 20 minutes. The middle act does about a half an hour. The closer does 45 to an hour. So clubs didn't think audiences would accept it to have more than one woman on a show or more than one African-American comic on the show. They felt threatened by it. They didn't understand it. And at the time, I used to say to club owners, I'd go, why? I don't understand that rule. It's just too much for the audience to digest.
Isn't stupid.
I don't think so.
The audience is there to laugh, and quite honestly, funny's funny, black, white, man, woman.
I agree.
Asian, anything.
Well, there was a guy, there's a comic named Dwayne Kennedy, who I only got to work with once, very, very funny guy. And he said that it was, the extremes were, you could only have one ethnic act on, or one woman on, or you did a show where it was all black guys, or all women, or all Spanish guys. Because that was the novelty of, you know, we'll reach for an African American audience by putting three African American comics on. We'll reach for a Hispanic audience by putting three Hispanic comics on. You know, and honestly, those are things that have just changed very recently, where clubs are blind to the fact of booking too
many.
How
recently?
In the last 10 years, 15 years. That's
seriously.
It. Yeah, I don't remember, like, ever work. I'm trying to remember a time where I ever did a show where there were two women on the same show or two African American or Hispanic or Asian. It just didn't happen. And that's horrible.
Although, I mean, think about it. How many club owners were white males?
Almost all of them.
So,
well, they tell the story about all of a sudden, because there were a lot of great comics. I'll use Bernie Mac as an example.
He was great.
Bernie Mac is one of the...
Never achieved the greatness he should have.
He was getting there toward the end, and then, sadly, his life ended. But I used to see Bernie quite often. There were a couple clubs that I would see him at town. He was always such a nice man, and I knew how funny he was, and he just couldn't get stage time in the more traditional clubs in Chicago. And then all of a sudden there were a couple of what they called black clubs that were on the South Side. All Jokes Aside was the one that was the best of them, and he would not only work there, but he would just own the room.
Yeah,
everybody
kill.
Just loved him. He could do no wrong. And I would try to figure out in my head, how can a guy who's that funny not work everywhere? And sadly the answer was, well, You know, we got it.
There was nowhere for him to work.
It's a white guy's world.
That's just crazy.
You know? Yeah.
And Michael Alexander was the guy who put this together. Now, he did stand-up?
Yeah, for a long time. He's, I think probably his greatest achievement was he wrote for Arsenio Hall shows for quite a bit. But Michael came up at almost the exact time I came up. A really good guy, great writer, had this idea in his head for a long time because he thought he didn't want that era of stand-up. It was the comedy boom. There was a time where there were, Bert Haas from Zany says in the film, there were 17 full-time clubs in and around Chicagoland. 17.
That's a lot.
And then a bunch of one-nighters where, you know, it was a bar or a restaurant, and then one night a week there was a stage in back, and they would do. I was lucky enough during the biggest boom years, I was doing half of the year in town and only half of the year out of town, and that's almost unheard of. You know, usually to earn a living, you have to be traveling and doing it all the time. But I was getting enough work in town. I didn't have to leave for half of the year.
Comedy was different, and I want to see this documentary. And what is it called again?
It's called Laugh Till You're Winded, because Chicago is the windy city. Your former roommate, Carla Felicia, has a couple of nice moments in it because she came about at just the right time where they were starting to realize that women could be, not only could be, but were just as funny as guys. And they show this little clip of Carla that
Don't
was...
Don't say little. Carla's very small. She's under 5 feet.
Right. She's 4'11", right?
Something like that. I've known her since sixth grade. She hasn't grown since then.
Hysterically funny, but... She was used as an example of somebody who was just a great stand-up comic and happened to be a woman. That wasn't the novelty of the act. It's, look, there's somebody who's really funny and deserves to be on stage.
Good.
And yeah.
She was funny. She is funny. And Michael, when he was in with us, Michael Alexander mentioned that a lot of former stand-ups go into writing shows because really that's what they do is write material.
So in the documentary, whenever they show somebody for the first time, it says their name and kind of
what they're doing now.
What their credit.
This
well,
looks really good.
Not necessarily what they're doing now, but what their most prominent credit was or is. And with a lot of them, they were running. You know, they were running Chris Rock's show, or they were running Drew Carey's show, or they were running The Goldbergs, or they were, you know, some sitcom. A bunch of the people from here, a bunch of them went on to be either showrunners, producers, writers, behind the scenes. A couple, like I said, Jeff Garland is front and center, and Bob Odenkirk, you get to see him on TV every week. But Bob is interesting because, like, Jeff was a headliner right away, and they talked about people who saw him for the first time, and I'll put myself in the same camp, where Jeff wasn't famous yet. He was just a Chicago act like all of us. But he didn't know that. He thought he was famous. He thought he was world famous. And it was the craziest thing because he would go up there and he would just act like he was really famous. And then you'd start to say, well, he must be really famous because he wouldn't act like that.
Loud, boisterous, own the stage.
No real act. He would just like, there was one time where I worked with him where it was at a one-nighter. It was at a hotel way, way north. And we were doing it in this room that was like a banquet room, and there was a giant sign. There was like a snack bar, and it said appetizers instead of appetizers. And that became kind of the first 20 minutes of the act was that he goes, how ridiculous is it that they have to put appetizers? Appetizers wouldn't make you want to go up and get a potato skin, but if it's appetizers, you're like, oh, they're teasing me with potato skins. And that was the way Jeff did it. It was just
it totally worked off the top of his head.
Yeah. And this was a story I told that didn't make the final cut, but Jeff one time... We were at the worst. It was a club that was just awful. It was in Rockford, and it wasn't a pleasant club. It was, you know, sometimes you just, I hate to say it, you do it to fill out your schedule. You know, you make
it
a few bucks.
Some money, yeah.
So all the way there, Jeff's complaining. Why are we doing this? This is going to be the worst. It's always bad. I can't believe they got us again to do this. And right before we went on, it was one of the waitress's birthdays, and they brought her cake. Jeff said, by the way, tell the MC not to introduce me, Jeff Garland, because I will not be doing the show. And I go, you have to do the show. He goes, no, it will not be me. It'll be Cakey the Clown. And I laugh and I go, Cakey the Clown. And he goes, trust me. And I go, all right. So I told the MC, I go, I'll be the middle act. I'll do, and then Cakey the Clown. And he goes, where's Jeff? I go, I don't know where Jeff is, but Cakey the Clown. So what Jeff did was he took the remainder of the waitress's birthday cake and he just smeared it all over his face. And he was Cakey the Clown for the entire show.
That is so funny.
I give him so much credit for being that experimental. And what did he just, I don't know, didn't care. You know, he would just say, worst case scenario, I'm never asked back.
And that would be a blessing
right.
in disguise.
How bad is that?
And Bob Odenkirk, and I remember just when Carla was starting out, the Comedy Womb was in Lyons. I grew up in Brookfield. I would go with her on Thursday open mic nights. And Jeff Garlin was there performing about, this was all about the same time.
Sure.
I never saw you there, but this
at the Comedy Womb?
Yeah. I mean, that was far for you, probably.
No, I did it a couple times a year. They showed it, and they were reminiscing about it. And if you'll remember, there was a restaurant downstairs.
Pizza Palace.
The Pizza Palace.
Mm-hmm.
The building was shaped like a castle.
Yeah.
They made it look like a castle. You walked up this horrible rickety staircase
to get upstairs. That was terrible.
Where you felt your life was in danger.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I don't think anybody from the city ever came to look at these stairs, because as you were walking on them, you could feel them buckle on each stair.
Yeah, you're totally... You know? I forgot about those stairs.
They also told me, not the first time I worked there, but the second or third time, Mark Schufeld was the guy who ran the door there. So he said, a couple times a year, there's a fight downstairs, because they would have wedding receptions, and there was almost always a fight. So he goes, when there's a fight downstairs, I always round up 3 or 4 of the guys, and we have to go down and break up the fight. And I laughed, and I go, that's so funny. And then I had to do it twice.
Oh my God!
In the times I was there, he would get a call on his phone that there's something going on downstairs, and he'd go, you, come with me. And we'd have to go downstairs and separate the warring factions at the wedding reception.
Well, I never saw you there, and granted, I really just went on open mic nights with her.
Yeah.
And that, but I did see Jeff be there occasionally, and Bob Odenkirk,
big time. Sure.
And Bob was funny, and Bob is funny, but I can't believe how Bob has blossomed into a great dramatic actor.
Because he really has.
When he was first, and I think I even said this when we spoke to him, when he was first brought on to Breaking Bad, I was like, oh my God, well, you don't need the comic relief, and this is a serious show.
He manages to pull it off.
Oh my God, and I'm telling you, I might be enjoying Better Call Saul more than Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I get that. All right, we'll take a quick break, then we'll close up shop. It's Bill and a 20 on WGN.
Just passing along the Chicago Bar Association list of who to not retain, because Sarah Tiemann, part of our promotional wizardry here at WGN Radio, wanted to know, because a lot of times you don't vote for judges because you don't know.
Right.
Just
this will make it easier.
All I got to say to you, Bill.
Yeah.
Rock the vote.
Rock the vote. Good. Solid advice.
Rock the vote, baby.
Solid advice. Is that the Hughes Corporation or something?
Don't tip the vote over.
I won't. I will not.
Rock the vote.
Thanks, everybody, so much for listening. Greatly appreciated. We will do this again tomorrow at the same time. Slightly different show, though.
Tell them to vote.
Everybody vote. Except you, sir. Do not. That guy should not be voting. All right. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.